In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Today we celebrate the Holy Forefathers. These are all the saints of the Old Testament who look forward to the coming of Christ and prophesied of his coming. And also today we especially commemorate the prophet Haggai. The prophet Haggai lived during the time after the return of the captives to Jerusalem. The Babylonians had destroyed the temple and the city of Jerusalem and taken the people into captivity, and there they stayed. And from the time of the destruction of the temple up to the time when the first Jews began to return, there elapsed about 50 years. What initiated this return was the Babylonians themselves were overthrown by the Persians. And when the Persians took power, they were much more tolerant of various religions, and King Cyrus issued a decree that allowed the Jews to return to the land and also to rebuild the city of Jerusalem and rebuild the temple. In Ezra chapter 3, it records the laying of the foundation of the temple, which the first group of Jews did not long after they returned. And it says that many of the priests and Levites and heads of the fathers' houses, old men who had seen the first temple, wept with a loud voice when the foundation of this temple was laid before their eyes. Yet many shouted for joy, so that the people could not discern the noise of the shout of joy from the noise of the weeping of the people, for the people shouted with a loud shout, and the sound was heard afar off. It's difficult for most of us to imagine what a significant event this was in the life of the people of Israel, because the destruction of the temple was a catastrophe. But it was not something that came out of the blue. It was something that the prophets had foretold because the people were continually engaged in idolatry, and this was God's final punishment, which had the effect of finally curing the Jews of their penchant for giving into idolatry. But for those that saw the glory of the Temple of Solomon and then saw it destroyed, to see the foundation laid, it was a time of great joy. And these Jews that returned back to Jerusalem, it was a fulfillment of prophecy. They were very excited. But not long after they began to rebuild the city and rebuild the temple, the Samaritans, who had mixed with the Jews that remained in the land but were foreigners that had been resettled there by the Babylonians, so they mixed pagan religion with also Jewish religion, they wanted to participate in the rebuilding of the temple, but the Jews wouldn't allow them to do it. And so they wrote a letter to the king, and they said, "You should search your records, and you'll find that the city of Jerusalem has been a troublesome city, and that in times past there were great kings that lived there, and they took tribute from the people around there, and there were many times that they revolted against this king or that king, and that was the reason why the city was finally destroyed. And if you allow this city to be rebuilt, then you'll lose everything beyond the river Euphrates." By this time, there was a different king that was in power, not King Cyrus. And so when he made a search and he read, yeah, as a matter of fact, what these people are saying is true, he issued a decree that said that the building of the city and the temple would stop until he gave further orders. Now, it's true, of course, that this opposition did bring about a halt, and that was not the fault of the Jews. But what you don't find is that the Jews wrote any letters to the king that said, well, why don't you make a search of the records and ask if you can find the letter from King Cyrus that said that we were authorized to do this. They didn't push their case. And years and years and years went by, and only the foundation of the temple sat there, but no building made any progress. And then Haggai began his prophecy, and it begins with the words, "In the second year of Darius the king, who replaced the king who had forbid them to rebuild the city, in the sixth month, in the first day of the month, came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet unto Zerubbabel the son of Shealtiel, the governor of Judah, and to Joshua the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, saying, Thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, This people say, The time is not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built." Zerubbabel was of the line of David. And next Sunday, when we read the genealogy of Christ, you'll find his name mentioned among those that are the forefathers or ancestors of Christ. And he was the leader of the Jews, of the original group of Jews that went back to Jerusalem. But despite the fact that they had met with this opposition, it wasn't just this opposition that had allowed the foundation of the temple to just sit there. They were slothful. They came there very excited, but the work of rebuilding their homes and their lives in this land was very difficult, and so they didn't put forth any effort. And so Haggai brings the word of the Lord and says, "You're saying it's not time to build the temple yet." But the problem is the time never comes when you put off something like that. They were putting their worldly things before spiritual things. He goes on to say, "Then came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet, saying, Is it time for you, O ye, to dwell in your paneled houses and this house to lie waste?" In other words, you're building your houses are very nice, and yet the temple is still just a foundation. It's lying in waste. There's no house of the Lord for us to do the services of the Lord. "Now therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Ye have sown much and bring in little. Ye eat, but ye have not enough. Ye drink, but ye are not filled with drink. Ye clothe yourselves, but there is none warm. And he that earneth wages to be put into a bag with holes. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways." What the prophet is pointing out is because you've put worldly things ahead of the things of God, God has not blessed you. And so you've planted lots of crop, but you've not reaped much fruit. You've worked a lot, but you put your money into a bag with holes. The money falls out and it's not there when you need it. You have clothes, but you're still not warm. You have food, but you're still hungry. And he says, consider your ways. Think about what you've been doing up till this time. And then he says, go up into the mountains and bring wood and build the house, that I may take pleasure in it, and I will be glorified, saith the Lord. Ye looked for much, and lo, it came to little. And when ye brought it home, lo, I did blow upon it. Why, saith the Lord of hosts? Because of mine house that is waste, and ye run every man unto his own house. Therefore the heaven over you is stayed from dew, and the earth is stayed from her fruit. And I called for a drought upon the land, and upon the mountain, and upon the corn, and upon the new wine, and upon the oil, and upon that which the ground bringeth forth, and upon men, and upon cattle, and upon the labor of the hands. Everything they did amounted to nothing. As if no sooner had they gathered their wealth or built up something, God blew it away. But then Zerubbabel and the priest Joshua, it says, heard the words of the prophet and obeyed the voice of the Lord their God, as the Lord their God had sent him, and the people did fear before the Lord. Then spake Haggai, the Lord's messenger, in the Lord's message unto the people, saying, I am with you, saith the Lord. And the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, the governor of Judah, and the spirit of Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and the spirit of the remnant of the people. And they came and did work in the house of the Lord of hosts, their God. And then later on in chapter 2, it says, from this day, the prophet tells them, from this day I will bless you. In other words, you've begun finally to do the work, and God's going to bless it. And he goes on to foretell the future glory of this temple. In Haggai chapter 2, beginning with verse 6, he says, For thus saith the Lord of hosts, once more I will shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land, and I will shake all the nations. And the desire of all nations shall come, and I will fill this house with glory, saith the Lord of hosts. The glory of this latter house shall be greater than the former, saith the Lord of hosts. And in this place I will give peace, saith the Lord of hosts. Here he's prophesying the coming of Christ. Christ would stand in this very temple and he would proclaim the gospel to the people. And near that temple he would offer that sacrifice that all the sacrifices of the temple up until that time had pointed to, himself for our sins. It should be pointed out that when Haggai told the people to begin building the temple, they didn't go get permission from the king to do it before they started to do it. They just started to do it. And then when they did, these same Samaritans wrote another letter to the king. But this time, the Jews, in turn, said to the king, look for the letter from King Cyrus. And when the king found that letter and saw that King Cyrus had decreed that they rebuild Jerusalem and rebuild their temple, he not only allowed them to rebuild the temple, but he subsidized the work from his own royal treasury. Now, there's a spiritual application that we should make from this. We are fallen human beings, much like the temple of God that was destroyed and laid waste. And yet in baptism, The foundation of the new temple of our spiritual life is laid. But then what happens? The demons come, and they oppose our efforts at every turn. They try to bring a stop to our spiritual progress. Unfortunately, too many of us then give in and don't move beyond that bare foundation of baptism, because baptism is just the beginning. It's not the ending, it's the beginning. And instead of building on that foundation, they're caught up in the concerns of this life. And what happens? God withholds his blessings from us. It may be that we even financially prosper, but when you look at people who are living for this world only, they may do very well, but what are they lacking? They're lacking peace. There's something that's missing because God's blessing is not upon them. All our labors are put into a bag with holes in it, and all that we build is blown away by God like dust if we don't build upon that spiritual foundation, because God is not going to play second fiddle to anyone. So let us go up to the mountain of God and gather the spiritual wood needed to build the temple of our souls. What is that spiritual wood? It's things like reading the scriptures, keeping the fast, doing good to other people, doing what the scriptures tell us to do, giving alms to the poor. If we do these things and build up the spiritual house of our souls, God will be with us and he will bless us from that day forward, the day that we begin that effort. Amen.